Good morning, Southbrook. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Lib. Thank you. Hey, we are excited about the football season, but I want to, you know, leave it to the media to do half the truth. Yeah, right. Yeah. When hell freezes over, I'll be a Steelers fan, okay? That I can tell you for sure. Half the truth. My gosh. You can't tell media anything. They just distort reality. But we're excited about football season starting. It's those of you know, we're getting close to the end of the Players Box campaign that started 3 years ago. And now you can really see construction is we're nearing the home stretch. It should be done. I think the projection is by spring. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who've made this happen. We see really cool things popping up. For example, like our goal for Players Box has never been that it's a 6-week training seminar, but that we do it in group with teams and groups of people. Well, this month I have the privilege of teaching a group of dancers the Players Box principles, and which is so exciting for me because I'm going to actually model some of the things dancing wise. But a lot of where this started was with my daughter and her experience with performance dance and the pressures that were there. And I just want to say thank you, Southbrook, because you all make that happen. So we're going to be able to hopefully, you know, speak the love of God through these principles. God made our brains, okay? So this science is not our enemy of our faith. It's our ally of our faith. And for me as a dad, I get to speak to a bunch of little Jordans and young Jordans here in a few weeks. And thank you for making that happen. If you're not part of our community, by generosity, go to southbrook.org, or you can go to PushPay and you can download the Southbrook, you can download the PushPay app and then go to Southbrook from there. Look up Southbrook and you can begin the journey of being a part of something much larger than yourself. You know, today is a celebration of the gospel, and I'm so excited about this message, but it's going to require you to listen deeply. And it's a passion of mine, this content. Many of you know that the mission statement of Southbrook is to connect people to Christ, not religion. I had a pastor ask me a few weeks ago, how do you guys have 200 baptisms in a weekend? I said, first of all, it's God. If on our part we've removed the religion from it and made it a relational thing, then maybe there's some wisdom there. But I think it's simply because we've taken this religious hoop to jump through out of it. But you're sitting in one of the most dangerous spiritual spots you could be in. You're sitting in a church building as it's designated, in a place used for community worship. So where you're sitting right now can either be an agency of a dynamic, relationally stimulating faith that is active and growing, and God becomes very real to you. He is not just a theory. He's not just an abstract concept that you believe in. You check all the right boxes, but God's presence is real. It can happen. And it happens here. That seat is where you will slowly die. It's where you will slowly die. Because religion does that to people, and it's up to you. We try to make this an irreligious place. We try to take man-made constructs out of it as much as we can. But it's up to you. And today is one of those core days for our church. Eugene Peterson is responsible for this message brought to you by Eugene Peterson, because he wrote a book years ago called Leap Over a Wall. It's based on a statement David makes in Psalm 18. And it's a book about the life of David. And look what he says. Sometimes I think that all religious sites should be posted with signs reading, "Beware the God." Religion is the death of some people. And this is true. So today we're going to look, I'm going to dive right in. We're going to look at 2 Samuel 6. David has been anointed king. He's now trying to establish his administration in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 1, David brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Bala in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the angels, on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab. This is where it had been, in a closet for a while, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, our state is named after that. That's how I'm from Newark, Ohio. Just had to say that. Sons of Abinadab were guiding the new cart with the ark on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord with castanets, harps. Does anybody know what a castanet is? I don't know what a castanet is. Harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day, that place is called Perez Uzzah, the place of bitterness for Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. He was a foreigner. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, wearing a linen ephod. You remember, ephods were those aprons, prayer aprons, representing the presence of being in the presence of God. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. Now, sometimes the Bible, you know, Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, said this one time. He was asked to defend the Bible. He said, "Defend the Bible? I would sooner defend a lion." No, you don't defend the Bible. You open its cage and let it roar. Yeah. And this is one of those passages where you just, like, you don't defend this. You just let this out of its cage. Because there is something for those of us who are interested in the gospel of Christ that this has for us. I'm going to carry you through this with 3 sections. A noble decision, a tragic death, and then this joyful dance that we just read about, okay? So first of all, this bizarre story starts with a very noble decision David makes. I want to find the ark and I want to bring it to my headquarters. I want to bring it to the location of the kingdom of God established through my reign. And David decides to bring it back to Jerusalem. Now, what was the Ark of the Covenant? Okay, it was, here's a picture of it. The ark was a wooden box. It was about 4 feet long, about 2.5 feet on all other sides. And it was made of wood, but on top of it, you can see the picture. Hold the picture up there, gang. There was a slab of gold. And that was the mercy seat. And surrounding the mercy seat were 2 cherubim, 2 angels facing one another. And the presence of the Lord, the Shekinah, and the word for Shekinah means heavy. The ever-present, heavy presence of God, the weighty presence of God, shone over the mercy seat. And the Ark of the Covenant was not just in the holy place, it was in the Holy of Holies. It was in the part of the tabernacle, the tent in the Holy of Holies, and it was the only piece in the Holy of Holies. The Ark appeared with the Shekinah, and this was the presence of God. And this is powerful because this is David's desire, very noble decision to say, I want to make sure the presence of God is real in my administration. And so David wants it back, and he would do that king thing. He says, but I'm not doing it without the presence of God. And look at this, Psalm 27, verse 4. He wrote this around this time. He said, one thing I ask from the Lord, this is only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, the tabernacle, all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, set me high on a rock. And you got to remember, this had been lost about 30 years previous. The Philistines in a battle had taken it. They had taken the ark and destroying Israel in a battle, and it was so powerful. Here's how powerful it was, that the Philistines, when their irreverence with the ark, they gave it away because they developed tumors, they'd had plagues that hit them. The ark was powerful. It was known to melt the faces of Nazis. That's just a rumor. But the ark was this unbelievable signpost of the presence of God. And this is really important. This is the danger of church. The danger of church is that God can become this religious concept, and many Christians are guilty of this, is where I just check all the boxes of I believe all the right things. And what David's gift to us is in terms of his life is not, again, that he knew how to live, because he didn't. He did a lot of things wrong. We're going to see that in a couple of weeks. But the gift of his life is this hunger and thirst for the presence of God. This hunger and thirst that the presence of God would not be this ethereal abstract concept, not just a belief, but the presence of God would be an experiential reality in his life. He would pursue the Lord's presence that intently, knowing God with immediacy and not simply rote religious practice. And so I want you to see this right off. For everything that happens here, you have to ask yourself the question, do I seek the Lord daily? Do I seek his presence? We're always living in the presence of God in the sense that he is everywhere. But do I seek the immediacy of his presence because I've opened myself to, as a deer pants for streams of living water, my soul pants for him. And this is what he's expressing in Psalm 27. This is why he's trying to bring the Ark back of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Now, this leads to a tragic death. Uzzah grabbed the Ark and he died. Now, if you're reading that and you're going, this is one of those stories, this is why I don't trust the Bible. How can I believe in a God who does something like this? I gotta believe in a God who does something like this. I just don't understand why God would kill a guy for grabbing a box, right? Now, there are specific rules God had given for the transportation of the ark. The ark had to be covered. It wasn't to be a spectacle. It had to be carried, and it was poles, sort of like your shower curtain pole, maybe through the rings that you had to put through four rings. And the poles were to be what you carried it with. It was not to be handled. And so four men would put the poles on their shoulders and carry the ark that way. It had to be carried by Levites from the tribe of Aaron and Moses, who were consecrated for the work, and it could not be touched. And every one of those rules was disregarded in this instance. Every single one. Every one was broken. Uzzah and Ahio weren't Levites. They weren't carrying it. They were pulling it on a cart, which means it likely wasn't covered based on what happened, and Uzzah touched it. They ignored all the rules. And so it's easy to read this and go, well, the reason he died is he broke the rules. That's not the reason he died. He didn't die because he broke the rules. If that were true, you could have two reactions to that. One is to say, this is why I'm not gonna trust the Bible. I can't believe in a God like this. A God like this smites a man for trying to prevent a sacred artifact from falling to the ground. Are you kidding me? All because he didn't follow the rules exactly? I don't wanna follow a God like that. There's no grace in a God like that. Or another reaction is to say, that's the way God really is. You're not gonna be blessed by God until you follow all of the rules perfectly. Now, which one has religion grabbed onto?